You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand on this St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody, and especially to NIU history professor Sean Farrell. Sean, welcome.
And happy St. Patrick's Day to you and everyone else out there.
So you're the guy who wrote the book, right? The Irish in Illinois?
Well, I'm one of them. I can't steal the thunder from my co-author, Matt Billings. But yeah, we have this new book on the Irish in Illinois just out this week.
I'm very interested in what I didn't know. For example, that it goes back almost to Revolutionary War times, that Irish soldiers helped capture the Illinois Territory for the Americans. Explain that for me.
Yeah, I think one of the things we wanted to do in the book is really emphasize, you know, the diversity and range of the Irish experience. And it does go back here a lot. It goes back a lot longer than I think a lot of people would kind of start from. You know, you consider the Irish and you think about the Irish famine and post-famine right. Immigration. But, you know, there really has been an Irish presence here from the beginning of the European story, at least in Illinois. There are soldiers in the French armies in the mid-18th century, the British armies, and then, as you say, a good percentage of the soldiers who take over the Illinois country in the American Revolution, or a high percentage of them are Irish.
You know, I love history. I like to read history. I had no idea that there were Revolutionary War skirmishes here in Illinois.
Oh, yeah, the Western Campaign with George Rogers Clark and... there's conflict all around. I think when we think about the American Revolutionary War, I think oftentimes it gets focused, obviously, on the eastern seaboard counties, but there's an awful lot of action heading out west as well.
Well, you know, you speak of conflict, too. I was interested to read that there was not much conflict here when it came to Protestant versus Catholic Irish, and the fact the Protestants kind of came first.
I mean, there are times certainly where there's, you know, the know-nothings, and there is anti-Catholic sentiment and discrimination against the Irish in the 19th century. But it's certainly nothing to the same degree that you get in places like Boston and New York and Philadelphia on the East Coast, where there are more established institutions and things. In terms of that longer historical view again, if we look at the late 18th century and the first Irish people coming into Illinois in the late 18th century, a fairly high percentage of them are Presbyterians and Anglicans who come here also from Kentucky and Tennessee into what was the heart of the state then, in the south and the west corner, you know, Kaskaskia and down there.
We think of the emigrants from Ireland fleeing something, but they also were drawn here. The building of the Illinois and Michigan Canal was a big draw for the Irish. Explain that for me.
Where we start to get larger numbers of Irish emigrants in the 1830s and 1840s, part of it obviously is the Irish famine, which creates horrible conditions, and Irish people flee for their lives, essentially, the island, coming across the Atlantic. And some of them come to Illinois. But the canal, the infrastructure projects like the Illinois and Michigan Canal drew a lot of Irish Catholic immigrants in the late 1830s and early 1840s. And, you know, those laborers formed communities in, you know, what becomes Bridgeport in Chicago, obviously, all the way out to Joliet and LaSalle. And they play a large role in the building of this state in the 1840s and 50s.
Some of those canalers were paid in land, right? So then in LaSalle County, you had a strong Irish farming contingent.
Right. You know, and you do have a lot of people who settle on. I mean, the communities that built those canals didn't all just go away. They stayed in place, and they found homes in Illinois, as my co-author likes to say. And LaSalle in particular is a place where kind of Matt's research has shown a lot of canalers settled in the community and became farmers, as you said. But other aspects, we open the book with a labor contractor named Billy Byrne who made a home in LaSalle, and then he died in Chicago. But he and his family were not here just to work and then move on. They were here to stay.
You have to look that up. My mom did a great genealogy book for us, but I have O'Connor in me, and they came from eventually in Kankakee County, but I think they were sort of Western before that too. I might have some Kanaler blood in me, Sean.
You might, yeah. No, it's good to get in touch with your roots.
Yeah,
and I think one of the things we want to do with the book is, you know, really encourage people to kind of explore their own histories, their personal genealogies, as you say, family genealogies and family histories, but also to get students in high school and college working on doing research on the Irish experience in Illinois, because there's so much material that needs to be done. I think particularly around women, Irish women in Illinois has been an under-evaluated story that I think a lot of people should go out and follow and do that work.
That'd be a nice segue then to Sister William Sullivan, Mary William Sullivan. Yeah. Tell me.
One of my favorites.
And she died just recently, right?
In fact, I came upon her and got a great deal of information from the Daughters of Charity. But then they had a kind of very extensive kind of obit on Facebook, right? So we use these new digital media tools to get information in a variety of ways.
But she worked with Dr. King. Tell me about her.
She is she's a remarkable woman, and she's one of my favorites in the book. So she comes to Chicago from St. Louis as a Daughter of Charity to work in the East Garfield neighborhood. With the sisters there, and she becomes this institution there. She's such a powerful advocate for civil rights and community. And you know, in the post-war era, that neighborhood changed so much as Chicago, as people were moving out to the suburbs, and it became kind of a majority African American community. And Sister Mary William Sullivan was a huge advocate for them, working with King and the Chicago Interracial Coalition, fighting, you know, Mayor Daley on a lot of the modernization projects he was trying to put through that she didn't think benefited her community. And she describes herself in her as a large, loud Irish nun sitting on the corner of Jackson and California. And it's just one of those wonderful phrases that really, you know, captures somebody.
Intimidated by her now, and she's been dead for 4 years.
Exactly. I was intimidated writing about it, but also in a good way, because she was, 70 years of service. And, it speaks to one of the things we want to get to in the book, and that there are all these different stories amongst the Irish in Illinois that range from, you know, that are advocates for civil rights like Sister Mary William Sullivan and others, you know, across the state.
And that's what I enjoyed reading about the book, because, you know, right away we think of the politicians, the Daleys and Kelly and things like that. But you mm-hmm. talk about how it was that the Irish came to power politically, and that they were early coalition builders.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that is really interesting. I mean, because you're right, part of the standard story of the Irish Illinois is that kind of rise to political authority. And, you know, there is something we need to know that nine governors were the Irish descent and seven Chicago mayors, et cetera. But one of the interesting things about the so-called machine, you know, in Chicago and the ward level politics is that the Irish really built multi-ethnic and eventually multi-racial coalition in their rise to power. They were never, there were certainly neighborhoods. We can think of Bridgeport, obviously, as an Irish space for a certain amount of time. But they were never a majority population. They were spread across the city, certainly Southside, Heartland, et cetera. But the Irish were spread, so to become influential, they had to work with other ethnic groups. And eventually, in the aftermath of the beer lager riots, right, in the mid-19th century, you see Germans and Irish working together to overthrow a nativist mayor.
We're about out of time, but just explore that for me for a second. The Germans outnumbered the Irish, and yet the Irish emerged as the power.
Right. I think certainly the Irish politically had a number of advantages in terms of English speaking. Mm-hmm. Their role in the Catholic Church is also really important. I also think their political background, coming from Ireland, where many have been involved in kind of nationalist movements to push for Irish political rights, I also think it really contributed to that Irish political experience, I think, that we see when you think of the Irish with an affinity for politics.
Sean Farrell, professor at Northern Illinois University. The new book is called The Irish in Illinois. Fascinating, Sean. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And a name like Sean Farrell, I got to say happy St. Patrick's Day.
And happy St. Patrick's Day to you and everyone else out there.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN.